This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, number 102. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us on pitchvision.com, email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com, and call us on 0208 816 7691. My name's David Hinchliffe, and I'm on my own this week. There's no Berners this week due to technical difficulties, but don't worry, we've still got a good show coming up for you. A slightly different format this week because we're not going to have the reader's questions section because Berners isn't here to give us the questions, but we've still got some great content for you. Chris Peplow, the coach of Ealing Cricket Club, is on the phone for the last part of his interview, and we talk in detail to Pete Johnson this week, Ireland's cricket analyst, as they gear up for their first game in the Cricket World Cup. So let's get on with the show. The first part is the interview with Chris Peplow, coach of Ealing CC, and we talk about the challenges of coaching an amateur cricket club in the UK. It seems like one of the secrets of success is to have a team that feels like a team. You know, the modern word, I suppose, is, you know, playing as a unit. Is that something that, as a coach, you can do anything about, or do you just have to let that develop over time, or can you do things to develop a unit?
Playing as a unit is massively important. I think a coach has a huge role. We are lucky. Like I say, you know, a lot of people have been friends for many, many years here at this club. But a coach definitely has a role in building the unity of a side. You just got to look at professional sport. I mean, a lot of teams are people that have been pulled together from all over the world. Not necessarily in cricket, but in football, for example. And the coach has a huge role in making sure that people are comfortable in the environment that they're playing in. And it's his role as a coach or a manager to make sure that people know their roles, are comfortable with what they're trying to achieve, and making everybody at ease before they play on the weekend.
And how do you do that? Is that a formal strategy? You know, you sit down with people, or is it something that you do sort of off the cuff during nets? You just have a chat with them, or how do you do that personally?
Yeah, on my point, I like to do it on an individual basis. When you're talking about them performing as an individual and what they're trying to achieve, as a team sort of bonding thing, if you like. When I do my training in the mornings, I'm making sure that people are interacting with each other, you know, that we've got lots of fun games that makes everybody, you know, feel that they're all part of the same unit, which is, you know, trying to achieve the goal of winning the game on that day. So, you know, little things like that, you know, you've got to assess your players. You know, everybody's different. You can't say one thing to one person because somebody might react differently to that. So, you know, you've got to be able to read individuals and be able to, you know, adapt to different people's personalities.
So it's not a formalized process as such, where you have a written plan for people or anything like that. It's more of an informal thing.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult one. I like to think I'm good with people, good at reading individuals. It's also the captain's role as well. You know, we obviously do sit down and have formal chats, you know, about plans and, you know, about the opposition and how we're going to go about it. You know, obviously we discuss the wicket, there's batting lineups, you know, sort of who's going to bowl when, and, you know, you're talking about these sort of things during lunch and tea breaks and pre and post game. So yeah, there's nothing really set in stone. I think it's a case of getting to know your players, and getting to know what works for them. and what works in terms of getting out their ultimate performance.
Let's talk about plans for a second. How do the coach and the captain work together to make a plan? Is it just, for example, you know, the batting order or roughly who's going to bowl when? How much do the coach and captain work together, or is it more of the captain's job to do that?
Well, again, luckily for us, I'm head coach here, and my best mate is first team captain. So we've got a very, very close relationship. I mean, so we're very lucky on that front. So we're in constant, during the summer, constant contact with each other, sort of talking over plans and batting lineups and so on and so forth. But you know, it's my job to get everybody ready in the morning. Make sure everybody switched on, covered their batting, their bowling, their fielding, and then the captain grabs the reins as soon as we are in the change room pre-game. It's up to him, you know, it's what he's feeling for the day, and he decides the batting lineup, you know, fielding positions, tactics, you know, that's all up to him, you know. But I'm there as coach, and I'm also vice captain of our first team, you know, for any advice or help that he might require during tough periods of play or over somebody's form, you know, all those sort of things. You know, again, it's communication.
So you make your suggestions beforehand, but then when it comes to the actual the time to cross the white line, then he takes over completely.
Yeah, definitely. Some of them say that I might have more is in a potential youngster that's coming through with one of the lower captains in the second or third team. You know, I'll be making suggestions that he bowls when he in certain times. You know, and I'd like him to bat in certain positions. So I might have more to say to do with those sort of scenarios. But with regards to the first team, it's pretty well oiled, pretty well drilled. And the captain's the leader, and I'm just there just to facilitate and help in any way that I can.
Well, it sounds like you've got your bases covered, so next year is going to be equally successful?
Well, let's hope so. If we can keep the same sort of player base, kept the same kind of enthusiasm, the hunger of players to do well and beat the performances individually, then I think we're going to have another successful season.
Well, it's good luck from all of us at Pitch Vision Academy to Ealing for the coming season then.
Many thanks.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
I'm joined again on the line by Pete Johnston, the Ireland analyst, and he's out in India with the Irish team for the Cricket World Cup. Hi there, Pete.
Hey, how's it going, David? How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And you're still preparing for your first match. It seems like there's been quite a long build-up to that. So how are people feeling about having been there a while but still not got into the action yet?
Yeah, no, I think the last couple of days, guys are ready to play. You know, we feel we've kind of peaked and we just want to get into the competition now and start playing. So I think everyone's itching to get out there and show what we can do.
So there's been a few games involving the Associate Nations so far, and there's been mixed results, shall we say. What are the thoughts in the camp about how the other Associate Nations have been doing?
Well, it's obviously disappointing. I'm guessing that, you know, they've put in a fair amount of hard work as well, so it's hard to say what's gone wrong for Kenya in particular and Canada in their first game. It was pleasing to see the Dutch last night, and we were obviously behind them. You know, it was a good game of cricket, but yeah, it's obviously disappointing, but it's tough. The amount of cricket the big teams are playing, and in comparison, the sort of few opportunities that we get, doesn't really put teams on an even playing field. But having said that, our preparation has been first class, and we have had great opportunities in the lead up to this World Cup, from the likes of Richard Doane, who is in charge of high performance. So, you know, we have had some good support. So, yeah, disappointing. And hopefully, you know, we can put up a good performance against Bangladesh. Holland can continue to do well. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Kenya and Canada do have one or two good days in there, if not more, still in the games to come, hopefully.
Do you think it shows that there's still quite a gulf between the full members and the associates, or do you think that it's just it's hard to say from a couple of games, and you know, maybe just that, you know, Kenya have had a couple of off games and Canada had an off game, but the gap is shrinking. What do you think it is?
Yeah, it's only a couple of games, like you said, and we're still to get off the mark in this tournament. And Canada did put up a good show. So hopefully there will be, you know, as in previous World Cups, there will be a good story from the associates. Obviously, we got to the Super 8s last time round. Kenya in 2003 got the semi-finals. So, you know, still a long way to go. Difficult question. I think the volume of cricket that the big teams play is obviously in their advantage. And I suppose that sort of match experience is what we lack. I think I heard Jimmy Kamande, the captain of Kenya, say it was 8 years since they last played Pakistan. Mm. So, you know, that says quite a lot.
Does a team's attitude change when you are coming up against a side who are certainly on paper stronger than you? You know you've got a chance, but you also know that you're definitely not the favourites. Does the attitude change in that situation?
Slightly. Like, you can, I suppose, in your advantage, you can probably, you know, you should be able to go out and play without fear of failure, and play free and, you know, really enjoy it. That's one thing I think, you know, the guys last time around in the World Cup in 2007, they played with a smile on their face and they showed they were really enjoying it. The one area I think that becomes really difficult is if you come up against a Sean Tate, a Murray Lithurin, you know, somebody that you don't get the opportunity to play against. Mm. Because the experience of playing, you know, those kind of guys over a series of matches, I think counts for a lot. You can plan and prepare for pretty much anything else except those guys that are sort of a little bit unorthodox. And that I suppose is a difficult thing.
And that's where I suppose there is no substitute from experience, and the experience of those exceptional players, those players with something completely off the wall.
Yeah.
That's where the associate nations are always going to struggle, right?
Yeah. For the time being, you know, obviously it's our goal to try and get on the future tours program, to get more games. You know, we were fortunate to have three games with Zimbabwe recently, which we travelled out to Zimbabwe for just before Christmas. And that was good to get a mini series of three games for us is even good. And they were all good games of cricket. We lost the series 2-1, but it could have gone either way. So, yeah, those experiences do count for a lot. Certainly skills-wise and fitness-wise, and fielding wise, and batting, bowling, you know, I think we'll be right up there. But match experience does count for a lot.
What kind of stuff are you working on now, this close to the first game?
Yeah, we had a team meeting this morning. Usually we do it the night before a game, but this time around we're getting it in a bit early, and so we can, you know, put some of the things into practice. We had a practice session this afternoon, and then we had a fielding session under lights this evening. So we've been on the go since 10 a.m. was our meeting, and then we went off to practice in the afternoon, and then we had a fielding session under lights. It's a bonus for us that India and Bangladesh played at the ground here in Dhaka. So we got to see the game. I recorded the game, tagged it. So we were able to take parts of that game out. and you know, obviously the most relevant conditions, and it was good from a planning point of view that game was on, and it was a good feel now for what's required.
So you don't obviously want to give too much away, but what did you pick out of that game that was of interest to you?
Well, you know, I don't think the pitch turned a great deal. It's quite a slow wicket. We've also practiced on the old nets here at the stadium. They've new nets, but Phil Simmons was keen for us to practice on the old nets, which is quite a small, compact sort of area. It's almost like you're in indoor nets because balls are just flying everywhere.
Yeah.
It's almost like practicing in someone's back garden, but they're the original wickets, and they're quite similar to what you'll get in the middle here. It's just a very dark brown soil with no grass whatsoever, and the ball keeps very low. So I suppose that low bounce, ball not really turning, quite slow. India played the spin very well, so obviously we looked at that. And I don't know, I think seeing the game, it gave us a good deal of confidence. Because, you know, we're able to make good plans, obviously, and we feel quite prepared for what's to come.
How do the players keep the motivation up when they're doing their practices but there's nothing really that you can work on apart from just, you know, keep everybody on their game? That's all you can really do, isn't it? You can't, you know, there's nothing really you can work on specifically this close to a game, is there?
One or two things. Again, I probably won't go into it too much, but on the batting side and how we play the spin in these conditions.
Yeah.
You know, guys from seeing the videos, some went to the game, some watched it on TV, and then obviously we covered it in our meeting too. And guys have taken into practice, batting and bowling wise, quite a lot, particularly on the spin side, I think. And we're actually able to practice, you know, shots that they might already have in their locker, but just to reinforce them and put that extra little bit of emphasis on them, and sort of just for these conditions, just a little bit of fine tuning, I guess.
There'll be people listening to this who played quite a lot of cricket but have never played under lights. What's the difference from a coaching point of view when you're fielding under lights compared to fielding during the day?
Yeah, well, the lights here are quite low. So we had a fairly extensive catching session tonight. We'll do some throwing stuff tomorrow, but we use the lights tonight in terms of catching. So we've a fielding coach with us as well, a throwing coach, and he's brought he's from a baseball background.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought his baseball bat out, so he can get them quite high with that, actually higher than you can hit with a skyer or a cricket bat. So some extreme catches, just making it extra difficult. There was some high ones with the skyer from me straight up. And then Phil was also taking another group. So we had three stations, just went around and just getting used to catching under lights. It seemed to go pretty well. The guys didn't have any major problems. One big factor here is the dew in the evenings. Now it didn't seem that bad tonight. But I think with that dew, it does make batting that little bit easier if you're batting second. Over here, the ball will, because there's no grass on the wicket, the ball will skid onto the bat and come off that bat a little bit quicker. So to counteract that, our spinners have been bowling with wet balls in practice.
Right.
So that would be one of the things, I suppose.
Is it harder to field under lights or just different?
I'd say different, yeah. More challenging, probably. I didn't see any major problems with it tonight, so I would say just different. Although there was I've never seen this before, actually. When I was hitting the high catches, there was I don't know if it was one bat, the same bat, or different bats. Kept flying down, and having a kind of swoop at the ball as the ball was in the air.
Oh, wow.
So it was a bit of an added distraction for the guys. So at least they'll know not to be surprised if they see a bat swooping at the ball as they're about to catch it. So
if they catch the bat instead of the ball, that might be a bit of a mistake.
Yeah. It would be a good excuse anyway.
Yeah. Well, your first game, you'll be playing your first game when this podcast goes out. So best of luck. And we'll be watching very closely from Pitch Vision Academy and keeping our fingers crossed for you that you can pull off the first upset of the tournament.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just sort of for people to get a feel for it out here in Dhaka, in Bangladesh, it might not have the best reputation, but the city is absolutely buzzing. You come out of practice and there's, you know, at least 1,000 people outside the practice just trying to look in. When we went to the opening ceremony the other night, there was as many people in the stadium as there was outside on the streets. And everywhere you go, they're very sort of friendly people. I think the Bangladeshis, and they're waving at the bus. And, so it's a really fantastic atmosphere over here. The supporters are incredibly passionate. So it's probably going to be 11v35,000 or whatever the capacity is come the game on. So, I suppose that's the one thing that we have to be sure is we can't be sure of, but I suppose handling nerves, we can do all the preparation and planning.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose handling that big occasion and such a partisan crowd. And we won't know until it comes around how the guys cope. But I think it almost gives them a boost anytime they do play in front of a big crowd. Certainly speaking to some of the more experienced guys, that's the way they feel that it lifts their game when there is a big crowd. And for some of the younger ones, I think to go to the stadium for the game the other night and to go to the opening ceremony, it gave them a feel for it as well, of what to expect. So I don't think there'll be any problems, but you never know. But hopefully everyone will be able to play to the best of their ability and not suffer from any nerves.
Well, we'll catch up with you after the game, and we'll hopefully be reporting on success.
Yeah, no, it should be a very good competitive game. So looking forward to it.
So we come to an end of another Pitch Vision Academy cricket show, and as I record this, Ireland are doing particularly well against Bangladesh, so fingers crossed that things continue there and that Pete Johnson can report back to us next week with some news on a famous victory. Don't forget that you can get in touch with the show, and it's very important to us that you do, because we want your cricket coaching questions. Remember, we give away a coaching course every week on the show. Normally this week, of course, we haven't been able to because of a lack of burners, but don't worry, burners will be back and so will the competition. The coaching course is an online coaching course with Pitch Vision Academy, so it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can still get access to some of the finest cricket coaching from elite coaches like Ian Pont, Gary Palmer, Mike Brearley and Alvin Kalacharan. To get in touch with us, you can email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. We also have a telephone number which is an answer phone, so you can leave a message with us wherever you are in the world. There's three ways you can get through to that answer phone. If you're in the UK, it's 0208 816 7691. If you're in Australia, it's 02 8005 7925, and if you're in the USA, it's 347 722 1981. And if you're not in any of those three countries, you can phone the UK number by dialing 44 and then 208 816 7691. You can also get us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is @PVCricketCoach. And if you do a search on Facebook for Pitch Vision Academy, you'll find our fan page on there and you can post your questions on the fan page. Don't forget, it's not just questions we want. We do want your cricket playing experiences, and if you remember, we've got some categories open. You can go to pitchvision.com and have a look at them. But we'd love to hear your appeal. If you phone our answer phone, then don't forget to leave an appeal for you to be able to represent your country. A nice, powerful, how's that? We'll get us going on that one. We also want to know who's the most committed player in your club, who is a club man through and through and travels hundreds of miles every week just to play a game for you, just to wear the badge of your club. Maybe it's you. And we also want to know what's the most disastrous start you've had, and how did you manage to get out of it if you did? Were you all bowled out in two overs, or were you 0-6 after two overs and you still managed to score 250 at the end of it? We want your epic tales of how things went spectacularly wrong or spectacularly right. And of course, we're still looking for our Pitch Vision Select 11. We're looking for 11 players to represent us from anywhere in the world. We need 6 batsmen, 4 bowlers and a wicketkeeper. But enough of this housekeeping. I'm off to watch the rest of the Ireland-Bangladesh game. And so until next week, when Berners will be back, I'll catch you next time.